Think of the words there. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly rest in Jesus' name. And then when darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone. Weak made strong in the Savior's love. Such, you know, I'm singing those and listening to those. Such amazing and powerful lyrics. Amen. Christ alone, cornerstone. And the weak are made strong in his love. Hallelujah. How are you doing this morning? You guys doing good? I got a thumb up. Good. I'm glad you are doing good. the last number of weeks, we've been talking about pursuing community. How many remember? The only thing that matters is let's try it. The only thing that matters is awesome. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. But for this, I was in my office preparing on Friday, and I was halfway through going for my next place where I want to go and pursuing community, and the Holy Spirit just started speaking to me, and I felt to go in a completely different direction for this morning. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Starting in the Gospel of Mark, and you can turn to the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to look at Mark 4:35, but starting at Mark verses chapter 4, verse 35, through Mark chapter 5, there are four situations which are humanly speaking outside of our ability to do anything about. They're impossible. The first, a storm. Then the second is a demon-possessed man, and by today's standards, he would most likely be institutionalized for the rest of his life. His situation was absolutely hopeless. Third, there's a father whose daughter is dying, and the fourth one is a woman who's left on her own to suffer with an incurable disease. And as you move through these accounts, there's one thing that you can't help but discover. And that thing is, Jesus is more than adequate for every situation. Jesus is more than adequate for every situation. There are no impossibles with Jesus this morning. Amen? There are no impossibles. And this morning we're going to look at the storm as found in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And we're going to discover the reality of what we were just singing. When darkness seems to hide his face, I can rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. And I pray this morning as we look at your word, you would give us a fresh revelation of who you are. A fresh revelation of the truth that there are no impossibilities with Jesus and how that plays out in my life. Father, that we have a place of security in you no matter what. Open our hearts to receive. Teach us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many remember the movie series Pirates of the Caribbean? me, yeah, it's my daughter. In the first episode, The Curse of the Black Pearl, Captain Jack Sparrow and Captain Barbossa, they're disputing who the real captain of the Black Pearl is. And at the beginning of the movie, Captain Barbossa has control of the Black Pearl. And they're sailing some treacherous seas, and he turns to another character and he says, "Arr. There be monsters. There be monsters in these seas." And so I thought that would be a great title for my message this morning, A Verbi Monsters. But then I had another title. I thought, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea might be a good one. But we'll stick with Therapy Monsters. But here's a little trivia for you. Did you know that that line was not original with the movie? You do know that. I figured you would know that. Apparently it's a, I wonder if you know the origin of it, though. You do. Apparently it's been around for a long time, and I recently came across the account that explains its origin. There's in the British Museum in London, England, there's an old mariner's chart. And it was made up in 1525, and it outlines the North American coastline. And the map maker created the map from information gleaned from ocean-going crews of the day. And there were notations on that map on where the reefs might be and where the best harbors would be, could be found. But there were certain sections on that map that were left blank. And in those sections were notations like the following: here be giants, here be fiery scorpions, and here be dragons. In other words, here be monsters. But ever since man's gone out on the water in boats, seafarers have always been just a little bit afraid of the unknown, the unseen, and the unexpected. And in Mark chapter 4, chapters 35 to 41, Jesus asks his disciples, and he asks an interesting question. He says, it's a very unusual question, in fact. He says, why so afraid? It's a very unusual question when you consider the circumstances. So let's take a moment and read it. Chapter 4, verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So Jesus had been, he had spent the day teaching, healing the sick, casting out demons. It had been a long day, and it was now evening. And so Jesus says to his disciples, let's get into the boat and go to the other side of the lake. And so they get out in the boat. They head over to the lake, and it's smooth sailing. But Matthew's account records that without warning, a furious storm came up. And the wind is howling, waves are breaking over the boat, nearly swamping it, and things are completely out of control. You know, I've been on a lake a few times, a number of times, and if there's a few storms I've gotten caught in. And I probably should have learned from the first storm, and that was with Eli. We were out there, and then we got caught in a storm, and we were fishing. And I should have learned from that storm, because that was scary. But there were a few others I got caught into as well, and I remember one I got caught in, and it was scary, because first the rain was coming down this way, and then it decided to come across sideways, and then it turned direction and came across the other way, and I couldn't control my boat. The waves were so high that the prop on my motor kept coming up out of the waves, and if the prop isn't in the water, it doesn't move the boat anywhere. And it was just it was scary. It was one of the, I thought I'm in trouble here. It was really difficult to get anywhere. And I was scared, and I got caught in that storm because I didn't heed the warning. There was a black sky in the distance that was coming down on me, and I just kind of ignored it, because you know why? There's always one more fish to catch. There is always one more fish to catch. I got caught in that storm because I didn't heed the warning. But there are times in our life when we get caught and we get blindsided by a storm through no fault of our own. It says here, without warning, a furious storm came up. And the disciples, they were, they're not novice sailors. They're seasoned fishermen. And this storm was terrifying, even for the most tested sailor. And where was Jesus? Sleeping. You know, when the storm hits, when storms hit us and swirl all around and everything is out of control, anybody kind of relate to that this morning? When everything is out of control and it seems like there's nothing safe to hang on to, nothing is secure anymore. You know, we're going down. I don't see a way out. And waves are crashing over our boats. We can wonder, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? You know, what might some of the storms be in life? What are some of the storms we might face? Loss of a loved one? Sickness? Broken relationships? Loss of income? Salary cutbacks? You know, I was just thinking right now in our own city, many who have been employed by Family and Children's Services are losing their jobs. We've got the situation in Oshawa, and now we've got the situation Chrysler in Windsor is shutting their plant. I mean, stuff happens, and there's a loss of retirement pension. I just heard the story of actually talking to this person, a senior. They lost their entire savings due to being defrauded in spite of due diligence. And now it appears that at 70 years of age, they have to try and find a job because their future is wiped out. You know, storms, they hit us. The storms of life, they hit us. Maybe you're first facing one today. The disciples woke Jesus up and they said something to him. Very interesting. They say, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care if we drown? Don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? Any of us ever said that? Jesus, don't you care? And Jesus got up and he said to his disciples, he said the most curious thing. And he says to them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And he kind of told his disciples off. And I don't know about you, but as I was reading that and I looked at that, I find Jesus' response kind of troubling. Why would Jesus kind of tell them off? Why would you say, why are you so afraid? Jesus, look. After all, they had every reason to be terrified. They're fighting for their lives. You know, I'm sure they heard the stories of other fishermen who caught in one of these storms. They did some, you know, on that particular lake, storms could just blow up in an instant. And they were some of the most terrifying storms that you could get on a lake. And I'm sure they heard some of the stories of other fishermen that got caught in one of these storms and were never heard from again. And now they're in the middle of this furious, terrifying storm. Their boat water is breaking over the boat. They're about to be swamped. They're in danger of sinking and perhaps drowning. They had an extremely serious and dangerous situation on their hands. And they had every reason to be concerned in the natural. Amen? And so Jesus asked them, why are you so afraid? You know, think of situations you faced and imagine Jesus coming to you. Why are you so afraid? But the question is better phrased like this as you study it out. It's more accurately, it's phrased like this. You say, why are you reacting to the situation this way? Why are you reacting like this? You know, we face very real situations. We face very real storms that give cause to concern. But the question is, how are we reacting? How are we reacting when these things crash over us? You know, how did they react? How did the disciples react? In verse 4, verse 38, you know, Jesus was in the storm sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, Jesus, don't you care if we drowned? You know, I think as I read that, as I look at that, it seems to me they may have panicked a little bit. And I think there was some anger involved. Like, Jesus, why are you sleeping? Don't you care? And it seems to me there may have been maybe a lot of anger involved there. Because I don't think they calmly walked up to Jesus and say, Jesus, wake up. Jesus, wake up. There's a storm going on here. Jesus, wake up. No. I think they came over to you. Jesus, wake up. Don't you care? Don't you see? Jesus, what's the matter? What? Where are you? Wake up. Don't you see what's going on? How can you sleep there? Jesus, don't you care? They, you know, I don't think they approach this very calmly. They're in serious danger. Jesus is sleeping. They're panicking. They're angry. And there's so much so they just began to shout at Jesus, wake up, Jesus. What are you doing sleeping? What's the matter with you? Don't you care? Have you ever felt that way? If you're honest, never say that out loud in public. But Jesus knows the issues of the heart. Why doesn't he do something? Why don't you fix this, Jesus? Jesus, don't you care? And it probably seemed to them maybe that Jesus didn't care, sleeping instead of panicking, sleeping instead of being concerned about their predicament, sleeping instead of helping bail out the boat. And then Jesus gets up and listens to what he says to them. He says, do you still have no faith? Ouch. Do you still have no faith? And that stings a little bit because Jesus identifies the reason for the response to the situation. He identifies the reason for their anxiety as lack of faith. You know, Pastor Dunstan and I were talking with someone this week, and God reminded me of an incident a number of years ago. I don't know if I've shared this with you or not, but I'll share it again because God brought it to me just this week. And a number of years ago, Deb was in bed. She was bedridden due to severe extreme muscle and joint pain, and she was unable to work, and disability was supposed to kick in through her job, and for whatever reason, it wasn't. It wasn't kicking in. And the job I had at the time only paid, we were on a system called flat rate, and that means I only was paid by the number of cars I fixed. No car, no job, no pay. And it was very, very slow. And very frankly, I didn't know how I was going to make ends meet. I remember crying out to God, God, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. And I'll tell you, it was more desperation than faith. And it very much felt like we were going down. I remember it so clearly because we stood to lose everything. I stood to lose everything. I stood to lose our house. Stood to lose everything. And one day I was coming home and I stopped by to get the mail, and I just cried out in desperation. I said, please, God, let there be a check in the mail. I had no idea where a check would come from. I said, please, God, let there be a check in the mail. I need a miracle. And I opened the mailbox, and there was a check in the mailbox that was sufficient enough to take care of my debt completely. And I began to weep. And it makes me weep now remembering it. I remember standing in front of that mailbox, weeping and weeping and weeping. I was weeping for joy. I was weeping that we could make, I was weeping, thank you, Jesus, the goodness of God. And I was also weeping at the sense of my desperation. It was all coming together in one moment there. And I remember holding that check, and God said to me, he said in that moment, let today be a memorial to you that I will take care of you place your faith in me. And I got home, and we had a plant on our kitchen table. I don't know if you remember this or not, but we had a plant on our kitchen table, and I'm looking at it, and there's money in the plant, not a word of a lie. I don't know how it got there, but there was money in the plant. And again, God said to me, never doubt that I will take care of you. The disciples had witnessed the miracles. They saw the blind see. They saw the lame walk. They saw the sick made well. They saw the demonized set free. They had heard his teachings. They had heard the teachings of Jesus. They had heard the good news of the gospel. And he had taught them to repent and believe the good news. Yet somehow, in this place, they hadn't learned to trust him yet. They didn't know who it was that was in the boat with them. They didn't know who it was that was in the boat with them. Mark 4:41 says, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They had been with him. If you read the first chapters of Mark, they had been with him. They had seen the blind see the lame walk. They had seen miracles that Jesus had performed. Yet, they hadn't learned to trust him. They didn't know who it was that was in the boat with them. And in that moment, Jesus taught them something. He taught them he was their hope and their help. He was their anchor, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of an unexpected storm. Amen? So the question is, do you know him today? Do you know him today? Because he is the one that says to the storm, quiet, be still. And the wind died, and it was completely calm. He is the one who can calm the storm. He is the one who has authority over the wind and the waves. He is the one who has authority over every single storm. He is the one who reigns over every economic storm. He is the one who has authority over every sickness. He is the one who has authority over the storm of broken lives and relationships that paralyze. He is the one that enables the paralyzed to walk again. He is the one that is able to heal the broken heart due to loss. He is the one and only one. He is the I Am, the great I Am. He is the I Am, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Do you know him today? Do you know him today? The disciples didn't know who it was that was in the boat with them. His name is Jesus. Amen? Do you know him? When the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee, the storm was real. The storm was a frightening experience. The storm was a real threat to their lives and to their future. And there wasn't a thing that they could do about it. You know, it's frustrating when you feel powerless. They couldn't simply step out of the boat and walk away from their troubles. They were trapped. And sometimes it feels like we're trapped in our situation. And there's not a thing we can do about it. We're powerless. But those men were not in the boat alone. Those men were not in the boat alone. Jesus was there. Amen? And he was there to deal with the storm that they couldn't handle. For this storm, they had Jesus. So Jesus never promised us that we wouldn't have storms in our lives. He never promised us there wouldn't be storms that we would have to face. But he did promise he would never, ever leave us or forsake us. He did promise to bring us through. For this reason, for this storm, we have Jesus. Amen? For this storm, we have Jesus. It's easy to believe in Jesus when the skies are clear and things are going smoothly. But when the storm clouds gather and the winds begin to blow and pound on our lives, then we have to examine and re-examine and decide, do we trust him? Do we trust him? Jesus wants us to know him. He wants us to know him as Lord. He wants us to know him as Emmanuel, God with us. God always with us. He wants us to know him as our peace, regardless of the circumstances. He wants us to know him as Lord over the storm. He wants us to know him as the God we can trust, regardless of what we see with our eye. Amen? He wants us to know him as the God we can trust. I can rest on his unchanging grace. And in every high and stormy gale, I can know him as my anchor that holds. Amen? He wants us to know him who has dealt with the greatest storm in our lives, our sin. He wants us to know him as his as Lord and Savior. For this I have Jesus. Amen? For this I have Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. For this I have Jesus. You know, at the beginning of the message, I told you about an ancient map that's on display at the British Museum in London. And before that map made its way to the museum, it was in the prized possession of a British explorer by the name of Sir John Franklin, and he had it in the 1800s. But in spite of its value, Sir John Franklin was offended by the fear that the ancient mariners had, and so he scratched on that map. He scratched out the inscriptions, and in the places of the phrases that had once read, here be giants, here be fiery scorpions, here be dragons, he wrote these words across the map: here is God. Here is God. You know, I just felt the Lord wanted to encourage us this morning, and the storms of life are real. Anxiety and concern are very real. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, we can say with all confidence, God is here. In the place of fear, we can proclaim, for this I have Jesus. Amen? For this we have Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Amen? He wants us to know him as Lord and Savior. Amen? We can have the worship team come back. And those that are going to help me with communion, come forward.